Chapter 4. The Gypsy Boy. After walking for hours through the snow, I was thankful to see my home again. Nellie Dean, my housekeeper, opened the door.
"Mr. Lockwood, are you all right?" she asked.
"No," I replied. "I don't feel very well."
"You're very pale, sir," she said. "Sit by the fire, and I'll bring you some hot soup."
I did as she said. When she returned with the soup, I started telling her about my visit to Wuthering Heights.
"Tell me, Nellie, you used to work for that family, didn't you?" I asked. "Yes, I did," she replied. "I worked there for many years."
"So you must know a lot about the people who live there," I said. "What can you tell me about my landlord, Mr. Heathcliff?"
"Heathcliff?" she repeated. "It's a long story, Mr. Lockwood, and an interesting one. If you want to hear it, I'll sit down and tell you."
"I would like that, Nellie," I said. So each night after dinner, Nellie and I sat down by the fire, and she told me the story of the people at Wuthering Heights.
It all began 30 years ago. That's when I started working for the Earnshaw family at Wuthering Heights. I was a young woman at the time. The Earnshaws were good people and very kind to me. I felt more like one of the family than a servant. They had two children, a son and a daughter. At that time, Hindley was 14 years old and Kathy was 6. Hindley was at a difficult age, and I think he was jealous of his little sister. Kathy was a mischievous child, but she had a pretty face and a sweet smile. You couldn't be angry with her. Mr. Earnshaw used to go to Liverpool several times a year on business. When he went away, we missed his cheerful presence, but there was always a compensation. He brought us nice presents. "What will I bring you this time, Hindley?" Mr. Earnshaw asked on one occasion. "A fiddle, father," the boy replied. "I've always wanted a fiddle." "An excellent idea," said Mr. Earnshaw. "You'll play the fiddle and Kathy will dance for us." Turning to his daughter, he asked, "And what shall I bring you?"
"A whip for my new pony," she answered.
Even at 6 years old, Kathy could ride any pony in the stable. "And Nellie," he said, "I'll bring you some nice apples and pears." 3 days later, when Mr. Earnshaw returned, his wife and children ran to meet him. But he said, "Stand back. What a walk I've had. The worst of my life. He's struggled with me all the way."
"What do you mean?" asked his wife.
"I'll show you," he said, opening his coat. "Here's a surprise for you." In front of us stood a dirty, black-haired child. He was thin and dressed in rags. He stood silently, his eyes on the floor. Mrs. Earnshaw was the first to speak.
"Who is this? What is this? How can you do this to us?" she asked in an angry voice. "How can you bring a dirty gypsy into our home? We have our own children to feed."
"Take him as a gift from God," her husband said. "I saw this poor boy in a doorway in Liverpool, shivering from cold and hunger. I asked people nearby if he had a home, a mother, a father. No one knew who he was or where he came from. I couldn't leave him there to die, could I?" Mrs. Earnshaw didn't reply, but with a cry she turned her back and ran upstairs to her room. Joseph, the Earnshaw's manservant, was an ill-humoured person. He was always praying and reading the Bible. He stared at the child and said, "He's as dark as if he came from the devil." Then he turned and left the room. Hindley suddenly remembered his present.
"What about my fiddle, father?" he asked.
From a pocket, Mr. Earnshaw pulled out some bits of wood and string. The fiddle was broken beyond repair. Hindley's face was dark with anger.
"That gypsy broke it!"
"Don't talk like that," said Mr. Earnshaw.
"And my whip?" asked Kathy. "Where's my whip?"
"I'm sorry, Kathy," but I lost it, her father said. Kathy replied by making faces at the boy. For this, her father smacked her. Don't behave like this, Mr. Earnshaw shouted at his children. Hindley and Kathy didn't say anything, but ran upstairs to their room. The three of us, Mr. Earnshaw, the boy and me, were left downstairs. My master sat down at the table and put his hands over his eyes. I thought we were a kind family, he said. Nellie, I am tired, so tired. Please bring me something hot to drink and take the boy to the kitchen. Wash him from head to toe and give him some food. The poor child is starving. Certainly, sir, I replied. It hurt me to see my master so upset. Then get him some clean clothes, Mr. Earnshaw continued wearily, and put him in the little bed in the children's room. The boy followed me into the kitchen. I feared he would be difficult, but he was quiet and obedient. I gave him a basin of water, soap and towels, and then I prepared some hot food for Mr. Earnshaw. When the child had finished washing himself, I checked that he was clean and gave him some of Hindley's old clothes. I told him to sit at the table, and I put a plate of bread and butter, a piece of cheese and a jug of milk in front of him. All this time, he hadn't made a sound. Perhaps he is an imbecile, I thought, or a deaf mute. When Mr. Earnshaw finished eating, he said, Thank you, Nellie. I'll go to bed now. Good night. I finished clearing the table and returned to the kitchen. The boy had finished everything. Then, to my surprise, he said in a low voice, Thank you, Nellie. So the boy could speak, and he was intelligent enough to remember my name. That was a beginning. With a candle in my hand, I took the boy quietly upstairs. When we entered the children's room, they both shouted, Take him away! We don't want a dirty gypsy in our room! I was afraid the noise would disturb Mr. and Mrs. Earnshaw, so I took some blankets and made a bed for the child on the floor outside the children's room. He lay down without a sound, and I left him there. I was very tired from all the unexpected excitement, and very happy to go to bed. However, I couldn't fall asleep. I thought about Mr. Earnshaw. How could he bring a strange child into the house? Was my master too kind-hearted? Perhaps in the morning the boy would be gone and our lives would continue as usual. With these thoughts in my head, I fell asleep. Joseph and I were always the first to get up in the morning. He lit the fire and fed the cows, and I got milk to make the breakfast. Before going to the cowshed, I ran upstairs to see if the boy was there. He was gone. At that moment, Joseph was bringing in wood for the fire. I asked him, Did you see the boy this morning? I did, he replied. And do you know where the little devil was sleeping? Like a dog outside the master's bedroom. Where is he now? I asked. What did you do? I kicked him down the stairs and threw him into the stable with the animals where he belongs, Joseph said. And I gave him some work to do. We don't need parasites here. I didn't reply because I knew it was useless to talk to Joseph. When I had a moment, I ran outside. The boy was there sweeping the yard with a broom taller than he was. I saw the bruises on his face and arms. He worked silently, his eyes on the ground. A few days later, Mr. Earnshaw christened the boy Heathcliff. That was the name of a son the Earnshaws had, a son who had died as a baby. Mr. Earnshaw wrote the date in the family Bible. Heathcliff came to Wuthering Heights, April the 10th, 1771. That is a date I shall always remember. After Heathcliff came to us, all our lives changed.